To hear all the clips of the show like this and more, please sign up to our weekly Nolan newsletter at bbc.co.uk/Nolan.
Super weeds are invading Northern Ireland, and even though it's claimed the unwanted plants are growing to several feet high, there'll be no attempt to cut them down soon. The man responsible, Danny Kennedy, says it's an issue with which will impact right across the country. The DRD minister told the Assembly that due to budgetary pressures, weed killing will not be carried out. Councillor Jim Rogers is on the line. Morning to you, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen.
I don't actually think about all of this type of weeds. How bad is this problem? Have you noticed it?
Stephen, it's a major issue. Make no mistake about it. Normally, weeds and the grass verges and the central reservations would have been cut five times between the 1st of April and the 30th of September. The Minister, and it's not his fault, he's doing his best. He's made it quite clear to the Assembly and the Executive he needs more money like every other Minister. But this is an important issue. It's becoming a safety issue and a health issue. And I'll give you an example. We have got, as you're aware, thousands of tourists and visitors in Belfast, Northern Ireland now every single week of the year. And they're remarking, they come into the City Hall, they talk about our beautiful city, but they mentioned the weeds, the grass, how high it is, and it's becoming an eyesore. And recently I had to make representation to Transport Northern Ireland, formerly known as the Road Service, asking them could they get the grass cut at a well-known school in East Belfast. They said to me, well, look, councillor, we can do it, yes, but there'll be no cuts now until next year. They did come out, and the real reason why they cut the grass and got rid of the weeds, there was rats. And rats are bad enough anywhere, but particularly where you've got children. So children were coming and going from this school. Now, councils are being blamed. And let me tell your listeners, the councils are not responsible for grass cutting unless there is a written arrangement and agreement with Transport Northern Ireland. Belfast City Council have some of those arrangements, but most of them now have been cancelled simply because of lack of resources. And I know how hard Danny Kennedy works, and he's doing his best. And I would appeal to his colleagues in the Northern Ireland Executive to agree to some money being released. Because a few years ago, we used to have, up until this year, we had five cuts during the spring and summer. Before that, we had eight cuts. Now it's down to one, and it's totally and utterly unacceptable. It's now got to the stage that some people have approached me and other public representatives asking, would they be legally right if they went out to cut the grass in certain areas? And I investigated.
Well, can they?
And was told, under no circumstances, because if an accident was to happen, they would be responsible. It's the authority, responsibility of Transport Northern Ireland, who are part of the Department
of Transport. So you're not allowed to go out and cut the grass in your road?
No. Or to spray the weeds. You're not allowed to do that. You would have to seek permission from Transport Northern Ireland, and that's become a big issue. And that's why the council, Belfast City Council, were being inundated with people complaining, people saying, we need something done. Can nobody help us? And unfortunately, it's not our statutory responsibility. And we would like to be able to do something because of the health and safety issue. And also from a scenic point of view, it's spoiling the sight of many of our beautiful areas in Belfast.
If you've seen these, I haven't seen these super weeds anywhere. I hardly get out, for goodness sake. But if you have seen them, tweet me in a picture at Stephen Nolan or email it to me, nolan@bbc.co.uk. At Stephen Nolan, nolan@bbc.co.uk. That's the Twitter and the, excuse me,
like
the email
say,
address.
I would like to say something else on the health and safety issue. I'm going to give you an example. The Campbell College roundabout, which is in the Belmont Road in East Belfast, and it's at the junction of Hawthornton Way and Parkway. There's an accident waiting to happen. There's been a couple of minor accidents because there's a dip in the road there to allow for water drainage and so forth, and motorists can't see vehicles approaching. because of these weeds and also the height of the grass. It is just unbelievable. And I know Transport NI are doing their best. They're prioritising. You've heard the Minister talking about not able to patch up potholes. You've heard him saying about lights will go out. So right from the top of the executive, right down to the bottom, they need to listen. They need to take action. And I know that health and education are amongst the most important issues in our city in Northern Ireland, but I would appeal to the executive members to give this serious consideration, because they're getting these complaints just the same as us at council level.
It's not the case that there's no cutting going on. There's some going on.
There's one.
The Minister stated that the DRD budget does not provide for sufficient service provision.
There's only one cut now this spring and summer, as I've just said, rather than the five cuts. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we had eight cuts between April and September. It's just dreadful. But Stephen, what I would like, I know you're trying to get yourself fit. There was a real what happened to you at the weekend.
Unbelievable.
What about you and I going out for either a walkabout or a run? We'll show you some of these. I don't want you to be in the car. You have to get out to see what's going on and get out of that office and get away from is it Five Live you call that programme you're on at the weekend?
Yeah, do you not listen?
Well, look, oh, I do. I love Five Live, but I prefer you on Radio Ulster. But I want to see you getting out. You need to get out and see what's happening on the ground instead of just listening to people ringing you up or emailing you or whatever. So I'm extending a big invitation to you today. You and I make an arrangement to meet, and I'll show you the problems with these super weeds.
Okay, Jim, thank you very much.
Very morning, best, Stephen.
Morning
care.
To you. Bye-bye. Morning. Robert. Morning, Robert.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good, man. Stephen, I was just listening to the programme there about these super weeds and about the lack of activity of cutting them.
Have you seen
like
any of them? I haven't seen one anywhere.
Oh, yes.
I wonder, are we making this up? I haven't seen anyone, any super weeds anywhere.
I travel all over the country, Stephen, as part of my job, and I see it in all areas of the country. Basically, as he was saying there earlier, the verges are growing up at roundabouts, at road junctions, everything else.
Really?
There's a serious health and safety risk here because you can't see out of junctions and things.
Where?
Over the high grasses. Everywhere, Stephen. I've seen it everywhere. I've even seen it on the Newdards Road this morning. So it is happening on all the roundabouts throughout the country and the junctions.
Well, if this is true, and I need to go out and see some of these, but if this is true, then this is one of the implications of, you know, when we talk about welfare reform and budgetary measures and all this kind of stuff. This is the real life stuff. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed if you can't see through junctions.
And Stephen, what I was going to suggest was, we've got such a big unemployment rate here. Is there anything to stop us having unemployed people used in public works programmes? They actually go out there and start maintaining roads and maintaining grass cutting services and things like that. After the war, Germany in employed public works programmes. And made use of
the whole point is the government couldn't afford to pay them to do that.
But Stephen, we're already paying them. We're already paying them through their benefits.
Oh,
there's
so you
a healthy workforce out there that's sitting doing nothing.
Oh, so you want people on benefits to do it for nothing?
Yeah, look, hey, they're not doing it for nothing.
What do you want to do? Put them on a chain gang?
No, not a chain gang. Don't be facetious, Stephen. They're going out there and contributing to society.
Why don't you go out and cut the grass? Get you out and contribute.
I'm already contributing, mate. I've been working since I was 16. Every day of my life, and paying rather high income tax. I'll hasten to add.
If you're paying high income tax, then you're rolling it in.
Oh, exactly. And just like yourself, my friend.
I'm not suggesting targeting people who are on benefits and forcing them to go out and work for nothing. You are.
Stephen, what I'm saying is, use their benefits as part of an incentive to put them back to work. If they need a certain amount of money each week to pay their bills or whatever it might be, use their benefits as part of that and use a top-up programme. It's about saying somebody in the think tank up at Stormont started thinking about what we can do with people who are lying there on the dole with nothing to do every day and no vocation in life. Get them up there and get them active, and maybe that'll progress them into further employment and something else. But sitting on the dole being paid for doing nothing is no incentive for anyone.
Do you understand that there's some people who are working who are on benefits? Do you understand there are others who are on benefits who are disabled and cannot work?
Stephen, yes, I agree with that. And it's the health of a nation, and it's the responsibility of a nation to look after those who are unfit to work and cannot through health reasons. But there are people out there who are fit and healthy. who make a living out of not actually going out and doing anything for a living. And we have to address that problem.
I'm going to get you back tomorrow, right? Are you available tomorrow?
I will be, yes, certainly.
I want to get somebody that's on benefits to give you a reality check, as you want to sound about cutting the grass.
I know. What I'm saying to you is, at the end of the day, if we can't afford to pay people to go out and maintain it as we have done in the past, we have to utilise other forms of it, because somebody is going to lose their life here. You know, we have to do it in some way. And if we have people out there who are being paid by the state and not contributing in any way, perhaps we could utilise that. Do a 2-day week, 3-day week, whatever it might be.
For goodness sake, yeah. 3-day, 24-hours-a-day week. Right. Let me see if we can get someone to speak to you tomorrow. I'm sure we will be able to do so. Good morning to you. By the way, this is maybe a bigger story than I realised. There are some photos being sent in to us now from all of this overgrown weed and grass. There's one at Mayo Bridge. My goodness, look at that. Okay, so on our Twitter, at Stephen Nolan, on the email, nolan@bbc.co.uk. Joanne, morning, Joanne.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Joanne.
Stephen, I think you must come in to work blindfolded, because there's not a road in Northern Ireland that you would go up or down that you're not faced with 3-foot-high grass and weeds that hasn't been cut. My brother works for the DOE, and, you know, the whole place is a mess, but that's another story. They cut the grass at the Balls and the Falls, and the grass was so high that I think the machinery couldn't cope with lifting the all the surplus grass that it cut. It was everywhere. The rubbish was everywhere. And they've left it so long that even if you look across the carriageway up at on the Upper Knockbreeder Road, they've just hacked at it. You would think somebody blindfolded had hacked it, because it's not even cut well. It's as if somebody said, "Here, there's people starting to notice this. We better get something done. Go out quickly in the middle of the night when you can't really see what you're doing, and just cut it down a bit."
It's a DRD, not the DOE, by the way.
The DOE, sorry, yeah, DRD.
That's fine. Here's a worker that's contacted saying, "Stephen, they haven't got the money for the second cut. They don't even have the money for the diesel." He says, "I work for Road Service. I don't want my name mentioned. But I promise you, they don't have the money for the diesel. They must have." Goodness sake. My goodness. Peter in Belfast. Morning, Peter.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'd just like to ask, who's responsible for cutting the grass? Because I contacted Belfast City Council, and they said it wasn't them, that it was DRD. Now, we have just recently changed from Lisburn City Council to Belfast City Council, and Lisburn City Council, whether they subcontracted it or not, cut it 3 or 4 times a year.
Are these council...
My rates have now increased by going to Belfast City Council, and I'm being told by Belfast City Council that they're not responsible, yet I'm paying it through my rates.
Are these councils not leaving themselves open for claims? If you think about it, if
the grass is 3-foot-high, so this.
Or one of the departments leaving themselves open for a claim. You think about it, if you were a motorist and you were out, you can't see a junction because the grass is overgrown, that's the responsibility of whatever public body it is to cut it. I can see a clever lawyer or a clever insurance company certainly bringing that into a court process.
Yeah. I mean, if they say they don't have the money, why is my rates not being cut?
Yeah. All right, listen, thank you.